Privilege to read together from God's Word this afternoon from Psalms, from Psalm 147. Psalm 147, and we'll also read two verses from the book of Romans, chapter 3, first two verses. May God bless the reading of the Word to us, His holy Word. Psalm 147, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely or suitable, fitting. The Lord does build up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. He tells the number of the stars. He calls them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the meek. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp to our God, who covers the heaven with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow upon the mountains. He gives to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. He delights not in the strength of the horse. He takes not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in thy borders and fills you with the finest of the wheat. He sends forth his commandment upon earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the hoarfrost like ashes. He casts forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. He shows his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgment unto Israel. He has not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. And then Romans 3, first two verses. What advantage then has the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Answer. Or further from Paul, much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. So far, the scriptures. We want to think this afternoon, as was mentioned, about the sacraments, and I invite you to turn with me in connection with that to the Bible-based teaching as found in the Catechism, Lord's Day 25, page 53 in the back of the Psalter. And we'll look at those questions and answers, 65 to 68. Here we are asked a question and instructed, since then we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only, from where does this faith proceed? From the Holy Spirit, who works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel and confirms it by the use of the sacraments. Question 66, what are the sacraments? The sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals appointed of God for this end, for this purpose, that by the use thereof he may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel, namely, that he grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. Next question, are both word and sacraments then ordained and appointed for this end, that they may direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, as the only ground of our salvation? Answer, yes indeed. For the Holy Spirit teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments that the whole of our salvation depends upon that one sacrifice of Christ, which he offered for us on the cross. Next question, how many sacraments has Christ instituted in the New Covenant or Testament? Two, namely, holy baptism and holy supper. So we want to think about Christ's gospel teaching on the sacraments this afternoon. Dear congregation belonging to Christ, this afternoon we have the first of three sermons on the sacraments. And it could be that this doesn't really grab your attention too much. I mean, I doubt that the subject of the sacraments in the Christian church are much a matter of thought or debate in your mind and heart. Our fathers in the time of the Reformation make clear the biblical view of on the sacraments, and having inherited that, we, most of us, at least, largely just accept what they wrote and has been taught to us. over the generations. But it is surely good to stop and take time to reflect on what you actually do believe in regards to the sacraments. And even more important and basic, what should we believe? And it is certainly true that all our thinking about the Bible's teaching on anything, on God, on sin, on salvation, on Christ and the church, it will also be reflected in our view and practice in regards to the Christian sacraments. As one put it, in this particular matter, the sacraments, all the threads of doctrine come together. When you think of this, it's no wonder then that there's been much debate and battle also in connection with the sacraments. And we can see Satan's hand behind this for sure. For the devil's always out to spoil and to ruin what God has given and intended to be such a blessing and gift and help for us. What we also truly need to realize most seriously is that wrong and mistaken views and practices in regards to the sacraments can be, and often has been, eternally detrimental and damning. On the other hand, a right view and practice in regards to the sacraments can be and is so encouraging and time and again most refreshing and helpful in the Christian faith and walk of life. In other words, thinking rightly on the biblical teaching on the sacraments is never unimportant, and it's always most relevant and truly practical. So my prayer is that we learn this now together with the scriptures and the Bible-based instruction of Lord's Day 25 before us. You notice the bold theme for the sermon, Christ's gospel teaching on the sacraments. I give this as sermon theme because all that I will say, I hope to show, comes from the scriptures and is all meant to be Christ-directed. And in that way, we can know it's Christ's teaching on the sacraments, indeed. But right away, we are faced with a question here. Is the word sacrament even in the Bible, the English Bible? And it isn't. Neither is the word Trinity, as you know. And just because the word is not in the scripture, in the Greek or Hebrew, it doesn't negate or discount the biblical teaching on the sacraments. There is a Latin Vulgate 4th century version of the scriptures where the word sacrament is found. For instance, in a text like, "Great is the mystery of godliness," the word mystery is translated sacramentum by Jerome. So the word sacrament is found in the Latin translation of the Bible, but not always correctly translated. The word sacrament comes from the Latin, and it means literally something sacred, dedicated, or devoted. It has a background both of being used in reference to money or treasure that was dedicated to a special cause, and also it's a word that was used to describe the oath of a Roman soldier the Roman soldier would make testifying of his allegiance and loyalty to the emperor and empire of Rome. So the word sacrament began to take on the meaning of a hearty confirmation of one's promise and something to be really prized and something related to mystery. So in early church history, then, already this New Testament already this word sacrament began to be used to describe the confirmation of God's sacred gospel promises to his people. The word sacrament came to refer especially to God instituting a visible sign and seal, a holy token, pointing to and confirming his word of promise to be the Savior God for his people in and through Christ. Sacraments referred to God confirming and underlining his promises as given to us in his word. And we know that in the Bible, in the Old Testament, we are shown two sacraments, the sacraments of circumcision and the Passover, which served as divine signs and seals of God's promise to be the God of his people and that his people belong to him. In Romans 4:11, the Apostle Paul speaks of Old Testament circumcision. He speaks of it as both a sign and seal of the righteousness of faith. And you could say, in other words, it's a sign and seal of the gospel promises in which believers put their faith. The Old Testament sign and seal of the promise of the gospel involved the shedding of blood. Think of circumcision and think of the Passover. But with Christ coming and his once for all sacrifice for sin, now no more blood needs to be shed. You understand that. For the salvation of sinners, no more blood needs to be shed ever after Christ's once for all sacrifice. How reasonable then, and how beautiful and fitting really, that Jesus himself changed the Old Testament sacraments from bloody to New Testament sacraments that are unbloody. The Lord Jesus instituted, instead of circumcision, a sign and seal of the promise, holy baptism in God's triune name. And instead of the Passover feast, in anticipation of the Lamb of God who was to come, now it's the Lord's Supper in remembrance and celebration of Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, who has come and shed his blood, a ransom for many. Well, the scriptures clearly indicate and support that while Christ changed the manner and form of the sacraments, he in no way changed or altered the meaning and message of the sacraments. And Jesus also never added to the number of the sacraments. The Roman Catholic Church teaches there are 7 sacraments. They include marriage, penance, confession of faith, and being installed in special office, and the last rites as sacraments. And while the Savior and the New Testament apostles surely stand behind the biblical teaching on marriage and making confession of faith and repenting of sin and being called to special offices in the church and ministering to the sick and dying, none of these are ever presented in Scripture as divinely instituted sacraments, serving as God's visible sign and seal and holy confirmation on his covenant and gospel promises. So we strongly disagree with the Roman Catholic Church, and they're maintaining to this day that there are 7 sacraments. In holding to this unbiblical teaching, the Roman Catholic Church seeks to make and to keep themselves as an institution as the Savior of the people, whom everyone must depend on and be indebted to, rather than always and again truly pointing to Jesus Christ as the one and only Savior of sinners. In this connection, it is crucial for us to understand that the Christian sacraments that God has instituted, both in the Old and New Testament, in no way ever adds to God's word, but it only always serves to affirm, confirm, underline God's word. It's the Lord not only giving his word, but going out of his way to show his word, to declare it, to reveal it, to make it known to us, to his people. As we read in Psalm 147:19, he shows his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He has not dealt so with any nation. So the sacraments are like God's visible preaching and presentation of the same word proclaimed audibly and written to us. The word is all important, and the sacraments confirm the word with divine sign and seal. It's backwards and it's wrong to place the sacraments above the word and as a matter of priority, even over the preaching of the word. And again here, the Roman Catholic Church leads their members astray, putting much more emphasis on their so-called 7 sacraments than on the plain preaching and teaching of God's holy word. Also in Reformed churches, we can have and make the same mistake, thinking more of the sacraments than of the word preached. I remember once a minister in a Reformed church, it wasn't in our federation, but that doesn't matter, a Reformed church, and as a faithful minister of the gospel, he was rebuking the congregation when coming all out in great number in faithfulness on Lord's Supper Sunday, but being all too negligent in regularly attending the services with the simple, regular preaching of God's holy word. The word is the priority. The sacraments sign and seal the word. It's the word of God, the covenant promises of God, that is the blessed gospel promises of salvation through Christ that must always take front and center stage in the ministry and worship of the Christian church. The sacraments are given to strengthen God's people in the trust and in the way of that one and only word and gospel of the Lord. The sacraments were graciously instituted by the Lord and intended by him most sincerely and clearly to guide and to guard and to confirm to us the covenant bonds of God's gracious love and care and promise and provision for us in and through Christ Jesus the Savior. From the whole of Scripture, we know God never would add anything to the gospel or take away from the gospel. It's God's delight to have Christ receive all the preeminence and all the honor. He knows how as sinners by nature, we are so capable always to minimize or negate or discount or distrust or distort the gospel. So God's sacraments, we can say, his visibly divinely instituted signs and seals of the gospel promise that he ordained and are arranged are only always meant to underline and underscore and more visibly show to us that one and only gospel message throughout the ages since the fall of Adam and Eve till the last day when Christ returns. As one put it, with the sacraments the Lord gives us that we might see and smell and taste and touch the same promises of the gospel that we hear proclaimed in the preaching of the word time and again. Here, let me quote also a little part of what is beautifully stated in our Belgic Confession, Article 33. As Christian Church, we state there on the basis of Scripture, quote, we believe that our gracious God, on account of our weaknesses and infirmities, has ordained the sacraments for us, thereby to seal to us his promises and to be pledges of the goodwill and grace of God toward us, and also to nourish and strengthen our faith, which he has joined to the word of the gospel, the better to present to our senses both that which he signifies to us in his word and that which he works inwardly in our hearts, thereby assuring and confirming in us the salvation which he imparts to us. Well, do you see and hear with me how the sacraments have been instituted and given by God to help his people in the way of faith and faithfulness before him? We read from Romans 3 for this reason, the part where Paul tells how the Old Testament Jews, as covenant people of God, were advantaged and privileged over all other peoples. What does he say? Much every way. In great respects, you could say. And included in that much every way, as more clearly brought out in Romans 9, 1-5, is the fact that to them, the Old Testament covenant people, were administered also the sacraments, circumcision and Passover. Now today, in the New Testament age, the sacraments are given by God for the New Testament church, New Testament covenant people, as represented in the Christian church with believers and their seed. As the first question and answer on the sacraments in question in Lord's Day 25 teaches us, God is pleased to work faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel and to confirm it by the use of the sacraments. What a favor and privilege of God for us in the Christian church, not only to have the audible preaching of God's gospel word and covenant promise, but also to have and make use of the Christian sacraments that God has graciously given for his church to strengthen and to encourage us in the gospel trust and covenant walk and promise before him. Well, to expand on this all now in a way that you take something home with you, let me give you three helpful, simple points about the sacraments as God in Christ intended them. I pray you will really this will really assist you in understanding and appreciating the sacraments and as the Holy Spirit blesses you to benefit from them to God's praise and glory by the use thereof. First then, we should always think of the sacraments as pictures. Pictures of the gospel promise and provision in and through Christ Jesus. The sacraments, in a simple, divinely ordained and arranged way, visibly picture the gospel message to us. Here, think of it how God instituted circumcision to strengthen Abraham and his household in believing that God would one day send the promised seed to be their Savior God in every way. And they, Abraham and his seed, were to be God's covenant people, ever following and trusting the Lord, and they would not be put to shame. Circumcision reminded them they were to be a separate and a holy people, cut off from the unclean ways of sin and the heathens around them, and they were to be waiting for and devoted to the promised Redeemer, Messiah, to come. Likewise, the Israelites, with the Passover feast, were reminded annually God was providing a Passover lamb, not only from the bondage to deliver from the bondage of the Egyptians, but a Passover lamb who would be slain and offered up on their behalf for them to escape from the divine judgment for sin and evil and to be guaranteed instead the Lord's care and keeping and his safe passage even into the promised land by his grace and mercy. And in the New Testament, in the same way, and even better, we can say, Christian baptism points to the promised seed having come now in the fullness of time, as God promised Abraham, and how Jesus, by his shed blood, by grace through faith in him, has accomplished full and free redemption from sin and eternal reconciliation with God for all his people. The water of baptism points to the cleansing and the renewal through Christ's washing away of our sins by his shed blood, and how buried and raised with him as our crucified and risen Savior, we may ever be reconciled and received of God as his dear and beloved children for Jesus' sake. And the Lord's Supper as well, you understand, pictures and proclaims clearly and dearly what Christ has all done to save sinners, and how in and through Jesus' saving work and his once for all sacrifice, we now have victory over sin, over Satan, over death and hell, and we may be heirs of God and recipients of eternal life in and through Christ. By the believing use of the sacraments as divine pictures for us of God's gospel promises and covenant mercies and love in Christ Jesus, what an encouragement and blessing and special favor God gives to his people and their seed. It's a gift for the church. Imagine God condescending to us, not only with giving us his word and the preaching of his word, but then adding four special pictures of his gospel word, two from the Old Testament and two in the New Testament age for us. How gracious, how understanding and kind of God triune to do this and to provide this for us. Well, do you believe and do you treasure the sacraments that God has given, both in the Old and New Testament, and how they are divine pictures by God himself, especially given for us, for the Holy Spirit to use to help lead and strengthen us in the gospel faith and gospel way of life? You know, it's true too often in our days, the Christian church is looking for other means and worldly ways to proclaim and to picture the Christian gospel. We often forget, wrote one, amidst the calls for contemporary sensory worship and today's appeals to visual learning style, that God has given us his own self-appointed means of using all our senses in worship, with the two sacraments that he has given us. It's in order to say that we need to stay content with what God has provided to us and not add to it or take it from it. Especially also when remembering God, the Holy Spirit is so pleased to use also the sacraments in a mighty way in the generations of God's covenant people, and for all confessing believers till the last day. Isn't it special and most encouraging to receive this special encouragement from God and to realize that these gospel pictures are very well meant by the Lord for us? God knew what he was doing when he instituted and gave us the simple sacraments as he did, as forever signs of the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, today sometimes pictures are sold for exorbitant and unbelievably high prices. But can anyone put a price on the value of the divinely given and freely provided old-time, all-time pictures of the gospel with God's sacraments for his people? Indeed, when thinking next not only of the sacraments as pictures of the gospel, but also as pledges, this is the second point, the pledges of the gospel. The sacraments are pledges of the gospel. They are holy divine signs and seals of the gospel. That is, the sacraments are given as divinely instituted oaths by God and covenant confirmation and token from him of all that he has promised in his word to his people as triune Savior God. The Lord wants to let his people know with full assurance, believers undersee, that he will always be a faithful and true Savior God, always faithful to his promises to sinners like us. With the divine pledges of the two sacraments by the believing use thereof, by the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, the Lord is saying and he's guaranteeing to us with divine oath that trusting and following him, you and I will find him to be indeed, truly, and forever, over and over, the perfectly complete and everlasting Savior, the eternally reliable, covenant-keeping God, the most loving, gracious, eternal Savior of sinners in every way, always for Jesus' sake alone. We often sing with baptism, Jehovah's truth shall stand forever. His covenant bonds he will not sever. The word of grace which he commands to 1,000 generations stands. The covenant made in days of old with Abraham, he does uphold. As pledges of the gospel promises, the sacraments serve as intended by the Lord in a much greater way even than, for example, what we give as when we get married. We give a ring to each other as husband and wife. A man and woman say to each other how much they love each other when they get engaged and when they get married. And then rings are exchanged, aren't they, often, usually still in our country, on such a happy occasion. And those rings serve as visible pledges, as it were, of the promise and love commitment and bond that was made. Often each other's names are even written on the inside of the ring. Well, with the sacrament of baptism, God joins his triune name to ours. And he pledges a forever bond of love, a promise of forever bond of love and salvation and care for us, each one, in and through Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Faith in him, having faith in him. Every baptismal service should remind us of God's wholehearted love and zeal for his people, giving his life even to the death of the cross for the salvation of sinners. Likewise, every Lord's Supper testifies Christ gave himself in the whole of his perfect life and the whole of his sacrificial death and the whole of his almighty resurrection to be the true and complete Savior from all sin in our lives, and to open a fountain of forgiveness and a highway to heaven for his people, and an eternal feast to come in and through him, the Lamb that was slain. And being united to him in true faith, as confessing believers, we are guaranteed, aren't we, not only ultimate victory and triumph over sin and evil in this life, but then also victory over death and an eternal home in the Father's house with his many mansions in the world to come. Do you see and have you experienced the Lord's Supper? Yes, even as an observer, not even as a participant, but even as an observer, have you seen it as something of a divine pledge from God to his people concerning his gospel promises in Christ Jesus? What a privilege to participate believingly in that sacrament as confessing members of the Lord's church, and how it is intended by God triune, so to strengthen us and gladden us in the faith, giving us joy and resolve in faithful obedience and holy service to God's glory. The sign and seal of the sacraments then, serving by God's design and spirit as pictures and pledges of the gospel promises in and through Christ, they ever call us to look unto Jesus, the Savior, and only always to rely on Him for the whole of our salvation, from start to finish. Question and answer 67 in this regard from the Heidelberg Catechism clearly teaches us this. To the question, are both word and sacrament then ordained and appointed for this end or purpose, that they may direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? The answer given is, faithful to Scripture, yes indeed. For the Holy Spirit teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments that the whole of our salvation depends upon that one sacrifice of Jesus Christ which He offered for us on the cross. Belgic Confession, Article 33, referred to earlier, also asserts on the basis of Scripture, the signs with the sacraments are not in vain or insignificant so as to deceive us, for Jesus Christ is the true object presented by them, without whom they would be of no moment, or without whom they would be of no meaning or value whatsoever. Here it needs to be said, dear congregation, there's nothing ever magical about the sacraments, as if just participating in them will by itself save anyone. Not at all. That's not the way it is. And yet it's so sad that and tragic that there are all too many in the visible Christian church who are deceived or deceiving themselves in thinking and in believing that this is the case. Just going through the rituals of the sacraments will get them to be sure to go to heaven. They think going through the sacraments and without having any personal relationship of faith and union with Christ Himself, it's still okay. It's not. The Bible teaches very clearly, without faith in Christ, it's impossible to please God or to be saved, even if you might be baptized 100 times, and you might participate in the Lord's Supper 1,000 or 10,000 times. Do the sacraments serve to teach and guide and bless and strengthen you in truly trusting and following Jesus Christ as only Savior and Lord? The sacraments are not about following rituals, but living in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and needing Him and looking to Him and being undergirded and strengthened in and through Him. Do the sacraments thus help you and strengthen you in realizing always and again, and more even, your desperate need of Jesus Christ to save you from all your sins, and the preciousness and fullness and graciousness and goodness of Him as only Savior, as given by the Father and ministered to us by the Holy Spirit? I have here a poem which I want to read, which I just came across this week, which expresses what I'm trying to just say now, that the sacraments are not just rituals. The sacraments are holy signs and precious gospel seals. They exhibit what the Lord designs and what His word reveals. But these were not themselves the grace which signs and seals set forth. The supper's not the sacrifice, a substitute, nor water the new birth. The sacraments were never meant a substitute for grace. They're not the truths they represent, nor must they take their place. Preserve us, Lord, from self-deceit, from resting on a sign. Bestow what symbols indicate and give us life divine. That's it. Rightly understood, then you realize the sacraments are given to direct us to Christ, to look to Him more and more. They're pictures and pledges of God's saving mercy and grace and help for us in life through Christ, the Savior, trusting Him. So as pledges, we thought about them as when you give a ring in exchange as a couple, getting married. The Lord's Supper, the sacraments, baptism and Lord's Supper are even greater than a ring as a symbol. But you can also say sacraments serve as the best of gift cards that anyone could ever receive. We live in a time when gift cards are often given. Maybe for a restaurant or for gas or or for groceries, or just a blank gift card with a certain amount pledged to you. And the gift card is no good unless you make use of it. Apparently, I'm told, all too many gift cards do not get used, making it a very lucrative business, ironically. But the sacraments, let's come back to this, are like gift cards, pledges of gift cards from God to us, telling us and urging us and inviting us over and over again to go to the Lord as revealed in Christ Jesus, the Savior, and ever to draw from out of Him and His salvation resources for body and soul in life and death, for now and forever. And we may receive always out of His fullness grace for grace. Yes, all because of Christ Jesus and His perfect sacrifice as Savior of sinners, His perfect payment for sin. As one put it, nothing confirms grace as do the sacraments when made use of in the way of true faith and repentance before the Lord and His church. And God's gift card for His people, as signed and sealed also in the picture and pledge of His sacraments, are timeless and they're limitless and they're endless. With my Christian baptism, even as an infant child of the covenant, or if baptized when older upon confession of faith, I may be shown and guaranteed the God of my salvation is there for me and with me, with His endless resources of salvation for sinners like myself, even as I look to Him. And with Lord's Supper, as confessing believers, you and I may be shown and assured God, our Savior, will stop at nothing for our complete and eternal well-being and our everlasting homecoming with God and all the redeemed in the new heavens and earth to come. Yes, all by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. What a privilege and advantage God's people have when saved and belonging to Christ's church and may participate and be recipients of the Lord's sacraments. Both sacraments, again, as one put it, are full of Christ, full of His blood and His Spirit. Indeed, for our total cleansing from all sin and our eternal renewal in body and soul forevermore till the Lord returns. Here it should be stated, and it's good to say this too as part of our teaching, that the sacraments are for those who belong to Christ's church and are members thereof, believers and their seed. If you won't gladly and humbly join yourself to the Christian church as instituted by God, and you will not submit yourself to the godly oversight of the church by God-appointed office bearers, then neither should you expect nor ask to be included in the administration of holy baptism or Lord's Supper. Again, today, too many people think and act as if just by virtue of personally believing in Jesus, the sacraments are owed to them, and the church, at least any credible church, is obliged to administer it for them too, regardless if the person will join the church or not. But if you will not join yourself publicly to Christ's body and people, you actually are living in disobedience before the Lord and His people, and thus also, therefore, not eligible for participation in the sacraments of the church. A faithful church has the responsibility, the brotherly responsibility, to admonish and correct those Christians who won't join themselves to a local Christian church. And that means also not to let them make use of the Christian sacraments if they continue in their wrong ways. Maybe the following from another minister, again not from our churches, may be helpful here. This minister wrote, and I quote, "Some Christians become actively involved in a local church without ever becoming members. It's good to be involved, but involvement without formal membership is like living together without getting married. To some people, this seems like a good way to test the waters. They argue, how can we know for sure if we are right for one another unless we live together for a little while? If things don't work out, we can split up without a divorce." This person writes, well, in addition to this violating God's will for courtship and marriage, that approach is a well-known recipe for separation. Two people who only live together want the benefits of marriage without the safeguards and responsibilities. And the same might be said of regular attenders who never actually join the church. As this person continues, they lack an unbreakable commitment to the church and its ministry. Non-members, however active they may be in the life of the church, are outside the covenant relationship with the body of Christ that God requires. They reserve the right to pick and choose their own doctrines, lifestyle, and ministry. In effect, they become their own elders, denying the authority of the church to carry out its mandate of gathering and perfecting the saints. To put this in theological terms with on this person, they separate union with Christ, the head of the church, from union with his body. As a result, they confuse themselves and others outside as well as inside the church about what it means to be a Christian. This is a costly mistake to make because membership has its privileges and responsibilities, but privileges among which are the use and benefit of the Christian sacraments as divine pictures and pledges to us of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Martin Lloyd-Jones, went so far as to describe church membership as the biggest honor which can come a man's way in this world. Indeed, and therefore isn't it the burden and blessing of the ministry of the Christian church ever to call people to Christ and to come and belong to him in true faith and repentance, and so also to be joined to his church publicly in a local congregation that seeks to be faithful, to be ministered to from that church out of God's fullness from his word and by his sacraments. Well, this all leads me yet to our third truth about the Christian sacraments, them serving by God's grace and good design, not only as pictures of the gospel and pledges of the gospel, but also as promoters of the gospel. Promoters. What do I mean here? Well, right and believing use of the sacraments are intended by the Lord so to strengthen and enthuse and excite God's people in true love before him and our neighbor. Whatever is given by God to help assure us and confirm us and strengthen us in trusting his promises and the way of the gospel, well, that clearly, under the blessing of the Holy Spirit, has its impact in our lives. It makes us enthusiastic believers. Believers with a focus, with comfort in our lives that can be overflowing, that we speak about. And how much is not this the case with the two Christian sacraments? When rightly understood, they are given by God, question and answer 66, as holy, visible signs and seals appointed by God for this end, that by the use thereof, he may the more fully declare and seal to us the promises of the gospel, namely that he grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. The sacraments, thus understood by us and made use of by God's people, gives hearty refreshment and holy confidence in faith and godly resolve and joy in the way of faithful love and service to the Lord and thankful praises to him for who he is in Christ Jesus, for sinful people like us as we look to him and rely on him. So the sacraments, rightly used and blessed by God, leads to the promotion of the gospel in word and deed in our lives. Is it not so? Faithful understanding and humble believing use of the Christian sacraments leads God's people in growing abhorrence and sorrow for sin and true and increasing dependency on the Lord and hearty, holy devotion to him, grateful witness of him as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, in this introductory sermon on the sacraments, under the theme Christ's gospel teaching on the sacraments, we have learned what? We have learned that the Christian sacraments are not signs and seals of our faith. They're not signs and seals of our faith and our faithfulness before God, but signs and seals of God's faithfulness and commitment to his word and the promises of his gospel in and through Jesus Christ, the Savior. The sacraments are not a sign and seal of our faith before God to warm up God, as it were, toward us. But they're the sign and seal of God's promises to us to warm us up to God and to wrap us up in his love and to have us wrapped up in service to him. As another put it, sacraments are not acts on our part toward God, but are acts of God directed toward men, God's people, in all places and generations. as the sacraments by the Holy Spirit build up God's people, they can serve at the same time to make those who are unsaved, not yet belonging to Christ's church, to become jealous. Jealous of God's people and the amazing, gracious, glorious, loving, triune Savior God that Christians may trust and obey and serve. Well, may God grant us that the sacraments never will have to testify against us in the day of days, but that rather also with the use of the Christian sacraments in our lives as Christian church and members thereof, the glory of God, our Savior, may not only be known, but also enjoyed by us most sweetly and be shown and promoted by us as God gives us opportunity throughout the ends of the earth. May God bless the Christian sacraments to each and all of us, that they be not just something confusing or more or less meaningless to you and me, or matters of just endless debate and argument, but that they serve as divinely given, very precious gospel pictures, gospel pledges, and gospel promoters, as God triune intended them to be in our lives. That's Christ's teaching on the sacraments. Amen.